Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In verse 2, if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Now, this is an interesting pair of things to put together. If you think you know anything, the word is eido, and it means to know by the natural senses. Your natural senses have no ability to give you any complete information at all. If you are relying on what you hear from people, or what things look like, or what things seem like, you're getting very unreliable information. That type of information changes. It changes, number one, with circumstance, of course, but also changes with things like your mood or your emotional condition that day. It changes on whether you're properly built up or not. It's very unreliable, it's very changeable. And though people call it fact, it may be fact, fact being the interpretation of that information, but it's not truth. In John 17:17, the Word of God and only the Word of God is truth. Truth is not dependent on your condition or on circumstances. Truth is given by God, and it's dependable in all situations. You can always rely on truth. Now, the next verse does say, if anyone loves God, the same is known by God. Now, this is huge, because a lot of people try to live by information. You can't live by information. You need information, but you can't rely on it in its entirety. What you can rely and what you do live by is the love of God. That's why Paul puts those things together. Your knowledge is incomplete, but love is perfect. But it has to be divine love. It's not human love. It's divine love. Human love is a self-based love. I love you because I appreciate you. I love you because you do the things or say the things that I like. I love you because the conditions are ripe for me to be content. I love you because everything that I'm desiring is taking place. That's not love. That's like. That's appreciation. That might be affection. That has nothing to do with love. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7 defines love. Nowhere in that definition are emotions or circumstances or conditions brought up. The first two characteristics of that love, and everything else stems from those two characteristics, are patience that endures long and kindness. Those are love. That's where love begins. If a person is impatient, they don't have love. Why? Because love begins with patience. Now, we need love. We can't do without it. If God knows me, it's because I love him. Now, remember, in Matthew 7:21 to 23, there are those people who will stand before God one day and they will say, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful things in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And he says to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you that work iniquity. So these people thought they had it going on. Maybe they were very religious. Maybe they were very productive. Maybe they were just really nice people. It doesn't matter. He didn't know them. That's why there are people who go to heaven, and that's why there are people who don't. There are people God knows. There are people who God does not know. Who does God know? Those who respond to Him in faith. Romans 14:23 says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Revelation 1:5 says that the blood of Christ removes all sin. Psalm 103:12 says that the blood of Christ removes sin from space, therefore, as Einstein showed us, from time. Well, if their entire life never had a moment of earnest faith toward Christ, at least for a moment, then there's nothing for him to know about that person, because their entire life, therefore, would have amounted to sin, even if they were really nice people. Sin is not just doing something wrong. Sin is whatever is not of faith. And some people will say, well, I don't believe that. What about people who don't have faith? Exactly. Everybody has the ability to have faith. Everybody has the opportunity to have faith, if nothing more than to have faith in the God who created creation. Let me give you an example. About 150, 160 years ago, there was a missionary in Japan. Japan was a Buddhist nation. And this missionary had a friend who was an American pastor who came to see him. They went out to lunch one day at a restaurant. In the restaurant, there was a man sitting by himself at a table. And the American pastor sensed God leading him to speak to that man. Except that in Japan, that's very rude at the time. You don't just go up to people you don't know. Now, he mentioned that to the missionary, that he senses this leading to go speak to that man, and the missionary sensed the same leading, and they decided, well, of course, then we have to. They came up to the man and they started to speak to him. They apologized for being rude and they asked if they could sit down and talk. And he said, fine. So they told him about Christ and the man started to cry. That took him by surprise and they asked him, why are you crying? And the man said, when I was a little boy, my father would take us into the courtyard of the house. Remember, Japanese houses frequently had courtyards. My father would take us into the courtyard of the house and he would point to the sky. And he said to us, there is a God who created the sky. That is the God we're going to worship. I always wanted to know his name. And you told me his name. Everybody knows that God is. Everybody can have a measure of faith. That man's measure of faith was not in knowing the name of Christ, but in knowing something about Christ in as much as he created the sky. And so he was worshiping the correct God, even if he didn't know his name. And so everybody in the world has an opportunity for real faith. Everybody is born with an innate sense of God. That's a part of us. So no one actually has an excuse. Now, people may not be educated in the Word of God. People may not be able to go to church. That happens, but that's not what's required. A measure of faith toward Christ is what it takes for Him to know you. There are those people who God will say, I don't know you. Now, anyone who loves God is known by God. How is it that they love God? In 1 John 4:19, God loves them first. One of the amazing things about faith is it starts to draw you to the love of God. That's what God is the most interested in. You getting to know His love. Now, that does not come in a vacuum, but it is the thing He's most interested in, that you get to know His love. Now, what do I mean that that does not come in a vacuum? Well, in Ephesians 3:19, the Word of God says, on one hand, that the love of Christ passes knowledge. But, on the other hand, in Philippians 1:9, the Word of God says, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge. So what is this saying? Well, the word knowledge here is doctrine. The Word of God in categories, in specifics, in topics being applied. That's what doctrine means. Doctrine is not simply teaching. It's specifics from the Word of God and its application. Therein is doctrine. And so, we love according to doctrine. The other day, I saw something that was posted by a fellow that I had gone to high school with. He's an atheist. And he posted a thing where he said, Jesus never said to hate anyone. And that, of course, is trying to get people to be tolerant of homosexuality and trans and all this stuff. Now, nobody said, no Christian that I have ever heard of, ever said we should hate these people. Nobody said that. I don't know any individual who thinks these people should be hated. But yet, that's the accusation that's made. Why? Because what it's really saying is love should have no standards. And that's false. Love must have standards, or there is no love. In John 3:16, we know that Christ came because God loves. That was the motive. But why did he need to come? That was the standard. Christ came and died for our sins because we were sinners. There needed to be someone, something, that took care of the problem of sin. And it would be a problem if Christ had never come. Because God is holy, God is righteous, God is just. Sin is a problem. Sin did not originate with God. It originated with the temptation of Satan toward Adam and Eve and their decision to follow through on that temptation, and now you have sin. That's a problem. Every single person who has ever lived has sinned. Even if they don't murder anybody, there's some people, and this I find really amusing, they think, I should go to heaven. You go soul winning and you're going to hear people say this. I should go to heaven because I haven't killed anybody, I haven't robbed a bank, I haven't hurt people. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, you don't belong in jail, so that means you belong in heaven. Is this what you're telling me? And essentially, yeah, that's exactly what they're telling me. It's a nonsensical statement. Because all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, God's standard, God's love, God's mercy. Everything about God, we've fallen short. That's why Christ came. Because there is a standard. Love is expressed because there is a standard, not despite the standard. The standard is required. Look at patience, for example. Love is first long-enduring in its patience. Why does it even have to be patience? Because there is a standard. There are certain things that are right. There are certain things that are wrong. There are certain things that are godly. There are certain things that are ungodly, and so on. If I'm into the things that are not right with God, that are wrong, if I'm into perhaps things that damage people or somehow hurt them in some way, then I need their patience. Why? Because there's a standard. And so, love is expressed because of the standard, not despite the standard. So when these people say, well, Jesus never said to hate, no, he didn't, but that did not eliminate the fact that he came, and he came because of a standard. Doctrine allows you to live in love correctly. It doesn't teach us to hate like the haters would accuse us of. Notice the people who accuse the Christians of hating are the ones who really have all these different people that they hate. It's really kind of interesting. Oh, I hate that guy. I hope he goes to jail. Do you know him? No, I just don't like him. Oh, these Christians, they're all hypocrites. Do you know them? No, I just know they're hypocrites. I'm sure of it. And you're saying what? About hate? It happens all the time. However, the one who is love draws you with love, and the reason why he can draw you with love is because there is a standard. One of the easiest types of people to win to Christ is a person who is in sin. And the reason is because they know their need. The unbeliever who lives in self-righteousness, who has a pretty good life, who does well thinking, oh, I don't need God, I'm fine. That person is the hardest type of person to reach with Christ. Because they don't see their need, although they have one. Why is there a need? Because there is a standard. Knowledge allows you to apply love in proper standard. Now, knowledge is the reason, doctrine, why we don't get selfish in love. We always love according to doctrine. Now, consider in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. We could paraphrase that statement to say, we always love by faith. Because doctrine builds faith. And so we always love by faith. That's why our love can be unconditional. Nobody can love by experience. Not possible. If I love by experience, then the source of my love is me. If I love because somebody is kind to me, if I love because somebody does what I like, if I love because somebody is agreeable, then the source of my love is me. The problem is, I'm not the source of love. 1 John 4 says, love is of God. Love is not of me. Love is of God. And so I can never be the source of love. I can be a source of affection. I can be a source of appreciation, but I cannot be a source of love. Yet at the same time, if anyone loves God, the same is known by God. Now, to love God and to love people is the same thing. 1 John 4 also says that if any man says he loves God but hates his brother, he is a liar and there's no truth in him. You can't love God toward God. You can appreciate God, but you cannot be patient toward God. You cannot be kind toward God. Kindness toward God is simply you're not sinning against him. Because otherwise you're accusing him of something. That in and of itself is sin. And how do you get patient with God? He's the one who's patient with you. The only way that a person can love God is to love other people. That's where knowledge is necessary. That's where doctrine is necessary. How do I correctly love? Doctrine tells you that. The Word of God clearly and precisely explains how it is that we love one another. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about. How it is that we love one another. We don't think evil of people. We don't puff ourselves up against people. We're not seeking our own way against people. We don't delight ourselves in unrighteousness. We're very patient with people. We're kind toward people. If I do that by faith, then my love becomes unconditional. If I do that by experience, I won't love. A lot of folks say, well, I feel like a phony if I try to love somebody I don't like. That's because they're trying to base their love on their feelings. Love is not based in your feelings. Love is of God, not of your feelings. That person will say, well, I have to keep it real. I have to love only according to how I feel it. If I'm angry with somebody, I'm not going to be patient and kind toward them. If somebody has offended me, I'm not going to be patient and kind toward them. If somebody does things I don't like, I'm not going to be patient and kind toward them. And the Word of God calls that pride. Why? Because pride is whatever elevates itself above the Word of God, above God Himself. Remember, John 1:14, the Word became flesh. And so pride elevates itself above the Word of God. Humility yields to the Word of God. So that person who said, well, I can't because they're actually living in pride, seeing themselves as the source of love. We love by faith or we don't love at all. It's that simple. We love by faith or we don't love at all. In order to love by faith, I need the Word of God to build that faith in me in the category of love. So, if I live in the love of God, I'm going to have to live in the Word of God. Or I'm not doing either. Now, love without knowledge will be sentimentality. And that's common in the world today. Happens a lot. That's one of the reasons why we have so much social and moral decay in our culture. Because people try to love and they say, well, we have to love. Yes, we have to love, but you can't love out of yourself or your emotions as the source. Love has to be according to knowledge, knowledge being the Word of God. Now, do I love sinners? Absolutely. Do I love their sin? Not at all. That's why Jesus died. Jesus didn't say, I love sinners, therefore I will tolerate their sins. Sins separate us from God. Jesus said, I love sinners, therefore I will take care of their sins. I will remove their sins. I'll shed my blood for their sins. Not to tolerate their sin, but to get rid of it. So that love can be expressed, so that relationship can be had. Saying to somebody in a burning building, you're doing great, your house is perfect, I want you to feel good, I don't want you to be afraid. Very sentimental, very deadly. But if I say to somebody, you know what, your house is on fire, that may not make them feel good, but it'll save their life. So to love them is not to be sentimental to their emotions. To love them is to love them according to truth. And that's the only way you can love. On the other hand, knowledge without love, it's empty, it's meaningless. It's nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:1-4 says, whatever I have, if I have it without love, I have nothing at all. And so knowledge without love is pointless. It has to be according to love. Can't be apart from love. In 2 Corinthians 8:7, as you abound in everything, abound means you grow in it. In faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you also abound in grace. It's one thing to abound in love or knowledge. It's another thing to abound in grace. We need grace also. Why? Because first of all, grace is that practical application of love. In other words, love is expressed in grace. In Ephesians 2:8, where grace is a gift, that means it's not conditional, it's not earned. In Ephesians 2:7, where grace is kindness, that's the expression of love in 1 Corinthians 13:4. We have two components, but we need three. In Hebrews 4:16, grace is a government of God. If you grow in love, if you grow in knowledge, also grow in the government of God. Why? So that you will know how to love. So that you will know how to use knowledge correctly. Some people use knowledge as a bat. Some people use knowledge to edify. You won't know how to use knowledge or love or anything else for that matter unless there's a government of grace. The manifestation of that government is mercy. Mercy, in its practical expression, is patience. So it comes right back down to love. You cannot separate love, knowledge, and grace. You can try, but it won't be what you think it is. You cannot separate love, knowledge, and grace. Love must always be according to knowledge, and knowledge must always be according to grace. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."